At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Ryan Bishop, your host for today. Oh, Anderson's got some big news today, but after that, we're going to get around to reviews of Trust the Man. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple of documentaries you might be interested in. Mm. Anderson's got a couple of movies as well. How are you, buddy?
Why am I hearing us back? Why, that's no good. Are we just learning how to do the show? Come on now, Cowan. Come on. Settle down. Yeah, that was all my fault. I'm sorry.
I hear nothing.
The show is feeding back.
Who are you in Marsh?
Through myself. Oh. Myself. Yeah, that was not good.
I'm good.
Yeah, so this is a big day. Big day for me, anyways. Oh. And thanks for allowing me to take a moment to give myself little plug skis. But when I say this, there's no hyperbole. This is like 2 years. We've been leading up to this for 2 years now. And that is my new project, which I've kind of been talking a little bit about here and there. And I've been working on for... 2 years now.
Oh, is that getting me the footage for my movie?
It's getting you the footage for your movie.
It feels like it's been 2 years.
That's like a month ago. And Okay. Here's the thing. Like if it was in the contract, what you wanted Mike and I to shoot for your documentary, and then we were also going to deliver it on a drive, we would have taken care of that like I did last time. That was never part of the discussion.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
What credit would you like in the film?
Uninterviewed man.
I was thinking about special assistant, Mr. Bishop.
Mm. Hey, Bishop's hair.
Oh, stylist. Not bad.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's a real double entendre. Bishop's hair is like you weren't there. You're not in the film.
I'd like movie watcher if I could get that.
Okay, I'll see what I can.
Yeah, I don't think you've been invited to be a part of the program at all.
I'll see it.
Avery, you want to
eventually?
I'm worried about the documentary.
You want associate producer document or upper credit?
Sure,
I can work that out. Why are you worried?
I don't know. I mean, the if it's about you, which it is, mm-hmm. I feel like you're leaving some things out.
Like what?
I mean. I just feel like there's some things left. Anyways, we're not talking about that.
We're talking about this.
All right. So I have a project that I've been working on for the last couple of years.
Leaving things out.
Joe Dorville and I began this process a couple of years ago. I've kind of been talking about it a little bit here and there. I talk about it on the After Disaster for sure. And it's, you know, that thing that they do in movies that we both like so much, Brian, which is at the end of the at the end of the movie, it shows...
So dumb. I was gonna say make them full of transforming robots. But go on.
Yeah. You know, it shows like the actual people, like it's a biopic. Yes. Like we love that.
Could he use more of that?
I'm doing that like in real time though. So it's very strange, but I realized early on that the movie is very, very meta for what's happening behind the scenes.
Right. And I'm even having trouble wrapping my mind around this, how we're going to pull this off.
I've always wanted to do a documentary alongside of the movie once we got there. And a while ago, we decided to make the documentary and start it up even earlier and make it more. I've fallen in love with this group that I've been a part of now for the better part of 2 years. And it's called the Born to Act Players. And it's out this way. And we found it. Joe found them. In our research for the film that I'm putting together, the independent narrative film, which shouldn't be confused with the documentary that we're shooting now. And I went by to look for actors for this movie that we were beginning right as COVID was getting going. It was kind of bad timing to try to launch that. And I have since become like they're family now. Like I've been going there with Atticus. He was 4 when we started going, and we've been going every single week, or not every single week, but pretty much every week. Most weeks we rarely miss a week to this acting class. I'm one of the official assistants now. Atticus is at my side. He's not even in my group a lot of the time. He goes off in other groups.
Oh, that's problematic.
I've been looking for And I think you might remember this. Like a while ago, I found this Playdate group out here where they have like special needs kids, really young ages. And I went, I checked that out, and it was okay. I saw what they're going for, but it really wasn't what I thought it was. And I definitely found it with this acting group.
Okay. When you say they're like family, you have contempt for many members of your family.
Yeah, not my own family. Oh, okay. They're like an extended
family. The family you wish you had.
Okay. Yeah. What it means is I'm very, very comfortable with these guys. They're very comfortable with me. I love it there. I love going there. It's usually the highlight of our week when Atticus and I go. And we're there most every week and doing running scenes and doing whatever Mary had. There's so much going on with this place, and I'm very excited to be documenting it. We've already been doing some stuff.
This is uncomfortable because this group plays a large role in my documentary, which I didn't tell you until just now. I gotta go pee.
Mentally challenged adults.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good joke. So,
no, this isn't a group.
What's that?
Never mind. Keep going.
There's the specific group.
This specific group.
Oh,
he was joking
friends.
That his topic is the same as yours.
All of your bad jokes were going to be done before the show started. You told me that in confidence. That
this
was
is not the normal day we record. I'm all off. This is my
you
bad
are
joke
way
day.
Off. You're
my bad
off.
Joke day.
So, anyways, Loaded for Bear Doc. Loaded for Bear Doc .com is where you can go to see the campaign. This is the first part. The first part of the documentary that we are doing. Mike Carano is my co-director at this point.
Oh, that guy.
He's going to be shooting a lot. We actually just covered one of their live shows on Saturday. We both were there and we covered the whole thing. It was fantastic. And what the documentary is going to be really shining a light on is what it is to be mentally challenged, what that means. And we're going to go through. I would love to do, like, as I've been looking, I can't find anything that actually goes deep into this. Like, it talks about the history of how various cultures and countries have approached this population.
I'm sure very sensitively.
Sometimes. You'd be surprised.
I'm thinking about the older days.
In my early research, I'm finding some fascinating things about countries you wouldn't suspect of being so open and kind.
I can't wait.
And then also talk about volunteering and talk about the adversity that they deal with and overcome every single day, and ultimately what it takes to make a independent film with using these guys in the movie. Because I wrote a film a long time ago. I wrote a script that I've been wanting to make for a while now, where it's from my own experiences, because I've been working with the IDD population since I was a teenager. Like, I started with Special Olympics when I was a teen. I don't even think I could drive. I remember getting dropped off the very first time I ever did this. So, and then I ended up having a job for a long time where I actually got paid to be a counselor with mentally challenged adults at a dorm. It was my favorite job I've ever had, still, by far. It was my favorite job I ever had. Broke my
aside
back
from
shortly.
Her, aside from this.
Aside from this, of course. And I've been, and then volunteering at camp and doing all the, but I'm so excited to it. It all just kind of happened, especially with this group in particular. And I'm very excited to share this with you guys. So Joe, Mike, and I are the team right now that's putting together the documentary. I have another couple of teammates who I'll bring into the fold later, but they're more on the other side of getting the narrative made, which we're going to be covering that as well. Casting.
Okay.
We're looking for like actual names, not just faces. We're looking for an actual, I have some targets in mind that I want to play the lead, but we're going to have, It's very exciting. So it's kind of like I got a movie to make, but it's going to be documentary form that's going to be covering all these things. So Loaded for Bear Doc.
Charlie agrees.
LoadedForBearDoc.com is where you go, and I have a bunch of different tiers.
LoadedForBearDoc.
Yeah, it just went up a few hours ago as I said this, and yeah, I don't know how we can do the show in here anymore, Brian. I don't, it really is a problem. And people, I know we got some new listeners who, you know, they came over because you got unceremoniously fired from the Corolla show.
Got laid off.
And, you know, people that just like hear me for the first time, I know I'm not a great first date. And I, you know, I'm a lot. I get that. I'm a lot. I understand that.
Agreed. Moving on.
I'm old enough to know that I am a lot. However.
Yes.
I want to put people in the headspace that is.
This ought to be good.
I come over to you weekly to make it as convenient for you as possible.
Drink my beer, drink my coffee.
I do drink your beer and coffee. It's the least you could do.
So I'm not complaining.
And traffic, you know, I'm a little angsty by the time I get here, but whatever. And then I come in and you'll be laughing at the fact that your dog is just barking out of control and is going to for the rest of the show. You think it's funny and cute. And I don't know how to navigate those waters without becoming enraged. You know what I mean? I don't know, especially when I have a quiet, nice place that we can do it at my house. But no, we bend over backwards to do it at your place. And then you're like, oh, isn't it funny? How
you know what we're doing wrong is we need to incorporate Charlie's barking into the show.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Like if he barks during a flick fashion, that means you got to see the movie. You know, it's like
put
endorsement.
A, put an uncontrollable variable in. That's fantastic, Brian. Yeah.
That's fun. Come on.
So anyway, Chess, loadedforbeardoc.com is where to go to look at pictures. There'll be a video up there soon enough if it's not
already
there.
How can I go now?
At the very least, you have to see Carano's photo that was chosen for him on there. It's great.
Oh, yeah, Carano's picture that he offered up for his headshot is good. So very excited. Also, Loaded for Bear Doc are the socials. Joe's going to be running the socials. We're going to have updates. So you guys are going to be able to follow along this whole thing, and it's gonna be... If you guys can see just a glimpse of like what I get out of it every single week.
Is that Mary?
Mary's at the bottom there, yeah.
Yeah, right there in that.
So excited. This is like fold. Literally 2 years we've been leading up to this moment where
there's Atticus.
There we are.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot one of the most important things, which is our fiscal sponsor is a company, an organization called... Entertainment to Effect Change, which I got hooked up with thanks to Brian, the one who's killing me over here. And they are a 501c3. So that means that if you give any kind of donation or contribution or get one of the perks or any amount at all, it should be a tax write-off. Talk to your CPA or to a tax professional. But I mean, that is what it's meant for. It should be a write-off, so it'll work towards your taxes.
Pretty good.
And you get something out of it, and you're doing something really good because it's we are trying our best to put forth for a community that I really, really care for. I have for many years, and I love the idea of what we're doing here. So 501c3, and also I know a lot of you work for corporations. This is the final thing, and this is the longest one. I'll plug here and there as you know we go on. This is we're hoping to have this phase done by the end of the year, but. I know a lot of you work for corporations, and a lot of those corporations, they will match or even more so sometimes if you donate anything. So
check it's a your company's matching program.
A great way to let your boss know too that like you're interested in charitable events and donations, and you're a good person with a big heart, and ask if they match.
Yeah, a little cheat code that helps everybody.
Yeah,
pretty exactly. good.
Yeah, yeah. So. Everything's falling into place so far. Now we need your help to be a part of this as well. So thank you for letting me prattle on and while yelling about Charlie, which is going to continue throughout the episode.
That's probably true. Were you prattling or yelling about Charlie?
Both.
Did you know you can write off the mileage for you driving here?
Yeah, yeah, I do that.
Okay.
I do that for
sure. I just discovered this.
Really?
So you're making money off this show.
Yeah. All right. So yes, Loaded for Bear.
Speaking of Transformers, though, a little Transformers cameo in Succession. You catch that?
No. What?
Did you see the most recent episode?
Yeah.
It's the movie they're screening.
Oh, was it Transformers?
Nice.
I know it was a 3-hour HD cut.
Because you can hear the robots in the background briefly, and they talk about half the movie is a robot sleeping for the beginning of it.
I think that was just making... It wasn't actually Transformers.
But you can hear... They do the quick shot of the actual screening of it. You can hear the transforming robot sounds.
Transforming? It's Transformers. Everyone was just like bored stiff in that.
What the fuck, man? Are you serious about that movie?
Well, they went to Hanna-Barbera business school. Like, what do you expect? You know what I think I was talking about the after that show. One of the little details in that show is none of them use phone cases.
Yeah,
because when you have that kind of money, like who worries about your little trinket?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, if it gets scratched or whatever, you just get a new one.
It's a good point.
Even though
you
Scooby doing seriously.
Anderson, I wish you all the success in the world with Loaded for Bear.
Thank you, buddy.
I want people to go to loadedforbeardoc.com, support the show, support the film, I should say. There's a big link button right there on top that says support the film. Let's see what happens when I get, I don't like this. Mother's maiden name. Okay. Nope, look at that. You can support the film in a number of ways. That's awesome. A lesser man. I want to point that out. Would be furious at interloping on my beloved contact.
We'll tell that story another day because we've already done enough here. But it's an interesting, funny story. Yeah.
Funny the way that.
It is funny.
It was my contact.
But it was your contact, which you
usurped.
You offered up.
Usurped.
It's not like I went through your Rolodex and like, who's this? This looks promising.
You play it on my weakness, which is helping others.
All right, let's talk movies. Let's hear from the listeners. What's going on? Let's say you got any other announcements over there.
I saw a movie website called loadedforbeardoc.com that steals my contact. But hey, more power to you.
Fiscal sponsor, Brian. Fiscal sponsor that helps the listeners who want to be a part of this campaign, part of this program, part of this film. Yeah. All right.
Fanfliction, compiled by the Mitch Burns. Mm-hmm. Kyle Dorholt on Facebook. Bo is afraid. I'm a giant fan of Ari Aster, and I felt like I was having a panic attack watching Bo go through everything.
Oh, great.
I thought it was Aster's worst movie he made, but still enjoyed it a lot. That's how much I enjoy his movies.
Nope, fair enough.
Pen Radio on Reddit. I watched Bo is Afraid last night. It was very well made with top-notch acting, but I can't honestly say that I enjoyed it. It was very hard to watch and brutally long. I'm assuming that if I had overbearing mother issues, it would have hit me a lot harder. I'm still looking forward to what Ari Aster gives us in the future.
Okay.
Bill Richardson on Twitter just got back from Evil Dead Rise. It was all right. Huge fan of the original trilogy, but the new ones don't quite capture the feel of those. Bruce Perky on Facebook, Evil Dead Rise is vicious, yet somehow darkly funny, too.
Oh,
Bruce.
Do you want to guess the Evil Dead Rise FVT score?
Sounds like about 50 to me.
Based on those two, I'd say 50. I'm going to go a little higher and say 65.
56.
Okay.
Who wins? It inversed.
Who wins?
56. Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting week this week, Anderson. A couple movies came out that I think you or I had little...
Are we done with fanfics?
I was not.
Okay. Well, I'm just jumping off of these two. I was not. Little interest in, so... no, keep going.
Derailed22 on Instagram.
Derailed. That was perfect.
Ghosted. Holy shit. Bad, bad movie. Mm. No real chemistry between Evans and De Armas. Generic everything. Mm. Even wife was disappointed, and she loves these types of movies.
Gotta be safe.
Ant on Reddit, The Covenant was excellent. Mm. Guy Ritchie has had two movies in theaters so far this year, and this one blows his first one out of the water. Gyllenhaal is great per usual, and Guy Ritchie is having fun with the camera. I find that shocking to believe based on the trailer, but I can't wait to be surprised.
Can't trust trailers.
Do you know what I
can't
saw?
Can't trust them. What'd you see?
I didn't see Targets, but I saw something better.
What's that?
I saw Sorcerer.
Oh,
it was.
We should do a little Sorcerer talk before the program's over.
It was good.
I don't want to spend too much time on it because Brian just flickfest it a few weeks ago. But
very good.
Did you see it in the theater? Because they just showed it in the theater, actually.
No, damn
it. They showed
it
in New Beverly at Tarantino's theater.
Damn it.
Or maybe that's coming up.
Maybe it's coming up.
Might be coming up.
Saw it at home.
Cinco de Mayo. I'm going.
That's pretty good.
I'm saying that to piss you off because that's during your live show that I'm actually going to.
Oh, there you go.
I was suggesting that I could just go see the movie rather than... Go to your live
show. Cinco, I had a little glass of mezcal while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Sorcerer, excellent. You need a little something to cut the edge.
It was.
White knuckle ride, that Sorcerer. The most white knuckle movie I've ever seen.
Intense. Very good.
All right.
And thus concludes the fan flick.
Fan flicky.
All right.
Very good. Thanks, listeners, for always sending in what you've seen. I always love to hear what you guys have seen. Also, for covering Bo is Afraid, I will be seeing that this coming weekend. I'm giving myself a week reprieve from that movie. Wasn't really in the mindset for a 3-hour mindfuck. And I had two other movies to cover this week that are very, very interesting, that are smaller. So I'm doing a service over here.
Were they music dogs?
Not music dogs.
Hmm.
No.
Oh, you're missing that.
Mm. Want to get to it, Brever?
Yes, let's start the part of the show where we confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Call it flick fashions, and you want to start with the one that was assigned to us?
No. Let's start with the big sexy.
Oh, I don't have a big sexy. A big sexy.
I have a big sexy.
Oh, what do you have?
Sisu.
Oh, is that out?
No, it comes out this weekend. Comes out this Friday.
Sorry. Usually, the big sexy is available to see.
Well, I mean, it's coming out. You're going to hear this like on Wednesday, or a lot of people are going to hear this Friday. It's available. Chances are it's available as you're hearing this, unless you're one of the early adopters of listening to this program. So Sisu is a film, a 2023 film that is out right now. It is a Finnish film. Sisu actually means like the spirit of being Finnish from Finland. They talk about it a little bit in the movie itself. About how there's really no perfect translation for it. You know it if you're Finnish, so it's
would it
very
be like comparable to like Americana?
No.
Oh,
it's because it's all about like guts and Americanas.
Okay. Yeah, more nostalgia.
It's all about I mean, it makes sense. It's the perfect name for the movie once you see it. Okay. So this is directed by Jalmari Helander, who also did Rare Exports, which we both liked quite a bit from 2010, 13 years ago now. Big Game was never seen by me, but I remember being excited about that one. And I had it on my a list of sorts, and just it did not come in with good reviews. And that doesn't matter. Sisu does come in with good reviews, and you're about to hear one from me about the old Sisu.
All right.
So have you seen the trailer for this?
Yes.
I have, yes. It's very revealing.
The trailer is satisfying.
It reveals the inside of many men.
Yeah, so I'm watching this thing and I'm thinking, well, I'm going in after seeing the trailer and I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be a There Will Be Blood and Inglourious Basterds combo? Could have been, might have been. The story is this, if you have not seen it, simple story. It's 1944 in Finland, and there's a man who is doing a little prospecting. He's mining for gold, beautiful shots of fjords and whatnot, shot in Finland. And you see this guy and his horse and his dog, and he's mining. He's doing the old There Will Be Blood thing, right? It feels very similar to that. And then he finds the gold, and he's very happy. And he mines it up and breaks it all up, puts it on his horse. In the trailer, it will tell you that it's over 500 miles to the closest bank. Mm. So sets off on the trail with big satchels of gold, Brian.
Are we alerted to the fact this is World War II era?
Not at this point, but I mean, that is the entire movie. So
he doesn't have an iPhone, so you catch on.
Yeah, pretty quickly you realize that it's hard to tell with prospectors. They're either from Oregon, right? They're from Portland, Oregon, or they're from that era. So this is chapter one, and it's just the gold, right? That's chapter one. This movie's told in chapters, too. Interesting little fact.
I love chapters. It's always great.
Eric Holmes and I were talking about this one, too. My buddy Eric Holmes from Cinematics, and the chapter, it says chapter one, the gold, right? And then the next chapter, chapter two, is the Nazis, right? And it's a little bit... what's the word where degeneration, like the actual title, it has some like scuffs on it.
Like degrades?
Degraded. Yeah. Okay. It's a little degraded as each chapter goes, gets more and more degraded. Little details like that. Right. So chapter two is the Nazis. He's on his little horse. He's cruising along. This is all in the trailer if you haven't seen it. And he comes across a tank brigade, a Nazi tank brigade.
Are they the heroes?
And they're like, they're the heroes if Brian's watched. And you're watching and they're like, hey, old man, get off the horse. What's up? Oh, look at this. Gold in these bags. On your knees. Time to die. And he takes care of business. And you realize, oh, this guy's a badass. And he's going to take care of business on his own. And then we get a little backstory on him. This is all very early on. We learn that he turned his back on the war. If you must know, the Finns and the Nazis weren't really fighting. The Finns and the Germans were fighting at this part in time. In fact, I even screenshotted a little piece of history. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick. Just for
research.
Just for here we go.
Edification of the backdrop of the film is the Lapland War in 1944, which saw fighting between Finland and Nazi Germany. However, the place and the year are the only similarities with real history. But his backstory is he walked away from the war, said, fuck you, I'm just going to live, you know, do my own thing, which is prospect for gold.
Sure.
But apparently he was quite an accomplished war veteran.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, how am I supposed to feel about this character, though, if he just said F you to the war, right?
Like, okay.
You fight for your
He turned
country.
His back on a righteous cause.
Especially against the Nazis.
And the Russians at the time, which were doing some naughty things as well, if you believe American history books. So, all right, I get past that, and the movie continues to go very A to B, but it's satisfying as can be. There's some frustrating moments where it's like, why would he do that? But it's okay. You forgive it. This movie is a very, very fun ride. I'm fingers crossed that it finds an audience because it deserves one. This is the best non-directed by Tarantino movie I've seen.
I was thinking
maybe
it's
ever.
Not a Tarantino-esque.
It seems a little Django Unchained.
Very Django. It's very Inglourious Basterds. But it's much more singular focused and doesn't have... I mean, the lead character...
It's not confusing.
...does not speak. Like he's the quiet man, and
he's
they
man
leave
a few
it up
words?
To the Germans to man a few words.
Man a few words.
Man a few words and few words. I'm afraid it might be a little disposable. Hoping that audiences do find this, see it in the theater, and have a really good time. It's very satisfying. It's a really fun ride, and I give a big. It was written during COVID. He was actually developing a different movie, the writer director, a comedy of sorts, and then COVID got in the way, so he just bared down and wrote Sisu, which I could see somebody writing in like a month or two because it's pretty simple but well executed.
Okay.
And he made it for $6 million, which is pretty paltry.
When does this come out?
And it comes out Friday, the 28th of April. So if it's playing in a theater anywhere near you, I reckon, and you like good action and
It doesn't have a part of the John Wick team.
I had so much more fun with this than I did with John Wick. I was just about to bring John Wick up. There wasn't any, there was unbelievable, ridiculous things that were happening, especially with the drowning scene that I won't get into anymore. Scientifically, it just doesn't make any sense, yeah. But it was inventive and I appreciate it. And I was laughing at numerous times. There's a whole lot of blood and gore, probably more than needs to be, but I know a lot of people respond to that. I don't know if you bring like a timid date to this, but you're gonna have a good time.
Oh, she ain't timid no more.
Sisu.
Yeah, check your local listing because look like, yeah, it'll be, ooh, I can see this on Thursday. Oh, how about that? Yeah, I'm excited for Sisu. 97% of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm looking at my Rotten Tomatoes is my home.
Oh, that's great.
Homepage.
That's great. I'm hoping this thing gets traction. Because it's the kind of movie that can kind of come and go. My next movie I'm going to talk about even more so. I don't think it's going to find an audience. And God, it's a shame because To Catch a Killer is fucking awesome. We'll get there in a minute.
I'm excited for that. Let me talk about, what I was saying earlier before someone else started talking.
Yeah, it's
one of those weeks where, movies come out and then they don't pique our interest. You know, they're not something that's high on our list or we're just not up for a 3-hour mindfuck like that.
What? It's funny you say that because there's three movies that I would have liked to have seen this week. I was kind of curious about Evil Dead Rising and because I like the Evil Dead series quite a bit, right? The trailer looked fun.
Sure.
I was very excited about Bo. I just couldn't find the time because of the 3-hour.
I thought you couldn't find the gumption. Like I couldn't get it up for Ari Aster is an amazing filmmaker, but his films are dense. They're like a fruitcake at the holidays. It's like, that looks good, but I know I'm going to be chewing that for 2.5 hours.
Way less fruit though, right?
Way less.
Better ingredients in there.
I'm trying to think of something that's dense, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be seeing that one. I'll be talking about that one next week, but that and Sisu. So there's three movies and this coming weekend.
This week.
Oh, that's right. What was the third one?
How'd you see
The Covenant.
How'd you see Sisu?
I got a link. The Covenant is the one that the third one that I was.
Okay,
that's three choices. I said no to all. So did you?
So did I. However, it affords us the opportunity to see movies like Sisu or To Catch a Killer. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, To Catch a Killer.
Okay, or
one of the worst titles in recent memory.
In my case, I saw the number one film on my Sundance preview this year. Came out, I believe it just came out a few days ago. I caught up with it recently. It's a music documentary, wouldn't you know it? Little Richard, I Am Everything. Little Richard, I Am Everything. 2023 film directed by Lisa Cortez. 94% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is one of those.
He really set you up for Little Richard, I Am Bored.
Yeah, where are you, buddy? Come on.
I am not surprised.
They're doing this thing where it's they call it Premiere at Home. This is so you can rent this to watch for $6.99, which I did happily. The 94% does surprise me, especially after seeing this. I don't know who gives this a bad review.
I probably would.
This is critic proof, not just because of the subject, but also because it's really well done. This is one of the ones that perhaps if I was still assigning a music doc, so I might assign this to you. It's very well done. It's an HBO Max film, which I learned in the credits, and I rented it for $7 on Amazon. And I'm like, God damn, I could have watched it on HBO Max. Go to HBO Max, not there.
You know what?
I don't know how these relationships work, where the one streaming service produces it and the other one.
Well, they're trying to wet their beaks with rentals before just putting it up for everyone on their platform already. HBO dropped the HBO.
Don't they benefit from premieres?
You hear that? HBO dropped the HBO?
Yeah, they're just Max.
They're just Max now. I get it. I was really anti at first, but I get it.
Why?
Because it seems like a subscription to a small catalog, just like one of the movie channels, like Showtime and Stars. They want to be like their own thing. Like, you don't think of Netflix like you think of Showtimes, do you? You don't think of Prime, like you
do. Yeah, I don't think of Netflix like a channel that has
more like a catch-all
streaming service. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess in order to be thought of with the Prime Videos of the world and the Netflixes of the world.
I think that's what they're going after, even though it seems like they're in a lot of turmoil on the interior from what
Which is odd because I heard you guys briefly talking about this on the After Disaster, but HBO has produces arguably the most consistently high quality content over the years, over the decades. You know what I mean? They pump out. It's good rare shows. That HBO comes out with a bad movie or show.
Mm.
It seems to me.
Mm-hmm. Except for the ones we don't watch or talk about.
Be that as it may. This is a profile, of course, of Little Richard, hence the title. I knew, no, sorry. He knew, He knew a Freudian slip. He knew he was gay from a young age. Mm-hmm. He wore his mother's brooches to school. He put on makeup, and his dad, like, you know, being from Macon, Georgia in 1940s or whatever it was, wasn't too hip to that. So, you know, he suffered a lot of, was the oppression, you know, at the hands of just society. Society wasn't ready for a flamboyant, makeup wearing, brooch wearing young black man. And the good thing about, so this movie's good because it's a very thorough retelling of, it's only 97 minutes. It's a very thorough retelling of Little Richard, his influence, his early days, his success, on and on. But like all great documentaries, this movie is about one thing, Little Richard, but it's also really about something else, like as a larger societal issue. And there's a lot of, it's funny because as I say this, I realize what it sounds like, and I could be driving some people away. It doesn't hammer you over the head with a lot of LGBTQ stuff and a lot of, like Little Richard was dealt two strikes off the bat, right? He was like flamboyantly gay and he was black in an era and a place where that wasn't, neither of those things were necessarily celebrated by, you know, society at large.
You see the most recent Lil Nas X music video?
I don't follow Lil Nas as closely as I used to.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's so great. It's so, Gio shared it with me. Otherwise I would not have seen it. So thank you for that, Gio. But I mean, he's just flaunting like his gayness and he's in prison and he's just completely jacked. Everyone's like wearing pink jumpsuits and he's just like faux banging dudes in the ass. It's the best.
That's interesting.
It's the best.
You know what? That's interesting.
I love it.
I love it so much.
That captures the spirit of like Little Richard. Like he was out there
banging guys.
He was out there being gay when, you know, decades later, Elton John was in the closet. Freddie Mercury was in the closet. All these guys were like...
It's revolting.
Hiding. Allegedly. I'm talking about musicians. What I'm saying, it should have been Little Richard kicking down this door and being like, hey, be whoever you want. Just, you know, do whatever you want. Be who you want. Be honest to yourself. And instead, mainstream culture kind of went the other way. Like, you would have think that someone as influential as him would have had a huge impact. And it wasn't lasting. It wasn't, didn't take hold. There's a lot of stuff to like in here. John Waters is featured throughout.
Yeah, I was about to ask you.
He wears the mustache as a tribute, he says.
I was fascinated when I found that out. I always thought that it was kind of his own thing. And he's like, no, this is a Little Richard.
Well, think about how a young John Waters felt. He talks about it briefly, but like seeing Little Richard as a young he was a young person. Little Richard was a performer at this point, but he's like, oh, you can be that and just be out and yourself and do your thing, you know, not to conform to whatever standards, you know, society puts on you, et cetera, et cetera. There is a sad coda to Little Richard's career, which is never given the proper due, you know, for influencing everyone.
Yeah. Do they get into that?
Yeah. They talked a lot about the Beatles, especially, the Rolling Stones, Bowie, all these artists who loved him and copied various, parts of his act. And our documentary was fair because, you know, basically they said, yeah, the Beatles loved Little Richard. They idolized him. They wanted to be like him, but they also gave proper credit. Like they covered his songs and, like, you know, the guy got paid. But it was other white artists who were reaching levels of success based on what Little Richard had laid down in terms of
paved the way
groundwork. Yeah, exactly. So this is a really solid documentary.
It sounds like, pretty much every music documentary I think I've ever seen. Is it kind of just different stuff?
No, it's very well done. And the angle of, I mean, I've seen a lot of music documentaries.
I have.
I'm racking my brain.
He doesn't though. He will tell you that he doesn't watch music docs.
No, I do. I know. I said I don't assign a lot of music docs. I watch a ton.
Pretty much every music documentary I've seen in the last 10 years, and there's plenty.
That may be true, but that's maybe a half dozen. Anyway, I'm racking my brain for a comp for Little Richard, like, or a music documentary about someone like him, where it's like, I'm thinking about like the James Baldwin doc, where he was gay and he was black, which at the time he was coming up in the world was not a celebrated things by mainstream societal standards. Mm. Mm. I didn't know this either. Apparently the song Tutti Frutti was a very racy song about butt sex.
Butt sex.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think Stern was talking about that not too long ago.
And they redid the lyrics to...
Barely, though. And he did them the way he wasn't supposed to do them on some show and got in trouble.
No, they redid the lyrics for the recording. This movie's full of legend and lore, of course. You know, but I didn't realize that.
All right, speaking of Baltimore and John Waters, I got a movie that...
you need a break first?
Takes place in the old Baltimore. Well, Brian's got a couple.
Oh, it's after true.
Because we're not true. Lining up on well, many.
Let's it see how far true. We get. I may have to save one. But let's see.
I don't want to say. Okay, yeah. I would say I don't want to say this one because I want people to see it. I hope that they do. So this is a movie called To Catch a Killer, which is, I've already mentioned, just a very milquetoast title that's very forgettable. I won't be shocked if I can't remember the title next week, which is unfortunate. It was originally titled Misanthrope, which was more apt, and I would have loved them to have saved that.
You know that name, you know that didn't test well.
Oh no, I can't believe that To Catch a Killer would.
What is that? What's
I understand what Catching a Killer means.
Misanthropy?
Was that his name?
So this is
which one is Misanthropy?
In looking at the trailer for this one and the storyline, it stars Mendelsohn and Shailene Woodley, and it's just right there in the title. They're trying to find a killer, and it seems very tense, and it seems very straightforward, like a thriller type almost. And it doesn't really seem like it's the type of movie that I would have any interest in tracking down and seeing.
Okay.
If it were not for a simple fact, what if this movie was written and directed by Damien Cizfron, his follow-up to Wild Tales? And I'm like, absolutely, please, may I see this movie. Wild Tales, which was one of Brian and I's favorite movies in 2014.
Oh, I knew I recognized the name, yeah.
And here is his follow-up all these years later.
This is almost a decade later.
So the story of To Catch a Killer is it's a shooter. It's an active shooter. It opens up. It's beautiful downtown landscape, skyline of Baltimore. There's all sorts of parties going on. I believe it's like New Year's. There's fireworks going off. And a shooter is somewhere in a building, and he's just picking people off one by one. And he's doing it with the bang of the fireworks so that he's absconded the sound wise. So,
oh, true.
And he takes out a number. I think it's 19 or something or so. And
at the stroke of midnight.
And the end of this opening scene, the inciting incident, a young Shailene Woodley, who is like a young cop, almost like a rookie. She runs to the building where like some of the main firing, because she gets it on her radio, and she's running towards the building, and she has the wherewithal to record everyone's face as they're running out, because she knows the killer could be in there, right? And she's getting everyone's face, and you realize right away that she's a good person because she already stuck up for like a homeless lady who was drinking in the diner.
She saved the cat.
And then, what's that?
She saved the cat.
In so many words, yeah, but. She also is a misanthrope, as we soon learn, right? So she's young. She's got a real Clarice vibe to her. This movie definitely feels it's got Silence of the Lambs swirled with Seven, a little touch of Monkey Shines at a point, even a little Monkey Shines shows up in there. But what if so? Mendelsohn soon realizes like he's the head of the FBI of the investigation. He's a real no nonsense, hard nose. Like, we got to find this guy. You know, his voice is, he's really deep in his voice. Ben Mendelsohn, if you recognize the name or you ever want to know his face, he's fantastic. He's that guy. And
he's got to be known by name now.
I hope so.
After the Star Wars Rogue One?
Perhaps. Yeah.
He's Krennic in Star Wars and Rogue One. And he's also in was it The Outsider on HBO? That great short, the Stephen King miniseries.
I didn't see that.
God, that was good. You should see that. That is very, very good.
Bloodlines, he was in it as well. He was the screw up who did a lot of drugs. He was like the black sheep of the family, Bloodline. Anyhow, so he's like no nonsense, FBI, and he's intimidating, but he sees like that Shailene Woodley's character's got a real knack, so he takes her under his wing, and the story kind of goes from there. Now, what it lacks that Wild Tales has, and Wild Tales, for those of you who might not know, is like an anthology with just amazingly written, hilarious stories that all have to do with human beings seeking vengeance. And there's lots of humor to be had throughout.
Lots of dark humor.
Creativity. This is not that. At times, I was thinking, Mateau Kasovitz made a movie called La Haine, Hate, a number of years ago, and it was a French film, and I was insane for that movie. I absolutely loved Lane. When he had his next movie, which was Gothica with Halle Berry, and it was an American film, I was very excited, and it really let me down. At the worst parts of this movie, I was going, oh God, is this Gothica? But then it turns a corner, and ultimately, this movie has a tone to it, due in large part to the score, which is fantastic all throughout. There are funny moments in the movie. And because the tone is so particular and kind of drab and dark and like Seven, not unlike Seven at all. It's very, it feels a lot like Seven. It feels a lot like Sons of the Lambs. But when there are funny moments, it's really funny. Like I found myself laughing suddenly very, very hard. It takes a real long, hard look at some ugly American warts and in spades.
I'm out.
In spades. Like it's looking at homelessness. It's looking at
what is a misanthrope?
It's looking at media. It's looking at slaughterhouses, bureaucracy, gun control. And of course, get this, racism. It looks at all these things, but it does so without beating you over the head. It's just part of the story. And I think it's woven in quite well. So speaking of warts, like the movie definitely has some. There's a couple scenes that I felt like the acting was a little bit off. It almost felt like Law and Order a couple times with banging on doors, but you get a little bit of that with a 2-hour movie. That said, I don't think there's a whole lot that could have been cut here. Like it was one of those movies where I'm like, I'm going to watch at least half of this thing before I have to go to sleep. I watched the entire thing.
Is that a mistake?
Was up till 2 a.m. and I couldn't turn away. I really, really love this movie.
Now explain this. So Rotten Tomatoes has this at 40 something percent. 46, 47. What would people find wrong with this movie? Why would someone give this a bad review? It sounds like you loved it.
I did. I don't know. That sounds to me like somebody was having the same feelings that I had early on, like things I was just talking about. Like, is this another Gothica? Like, he's missing the mark on this. Maybe it's a language barrier. Maybe he's not meant to make American films. But then he would turn it. He turns a corner. And for every like shortcoming, there'd be at least two things that would cancel them out. The performances are there. Ben Mendelsohn and Shailene Woodley. She had me choked up, and I was like, there's a scene at the end and it's just dialogue and they're just sitting there and things are being exchanged. And it got me. I wasn't openly weeping, but I was like tearing up at just her performance and what she was saying and her interactions. I don't know. I really don't know. This movie's gripping. It's gripping.
Wow. And well, where can one see this?
I think you can rent it VOD, and it's in limited theaters. I also got a screener for this one. But yeah, critics, there should be very few reviews on it because it's brand new. And what are the,
I'm only looking at,
what are you doing on Rotten Tomatoes?
I was about to say, I'm only on Wikipedia, and it simply says,
I will check.
Yeah. Will you check?
No, you check. Yeah. It simply says it's 46% based on 37 reviews.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that could be outdated.
Yeah, I mean, that's 46 based on 37 reviews. So
that's too many. I'm too many. A lot of it, like for it to be that low, I was assuming it would be like 8 or 9, you know what I mean? Because that happens sometimes. And usually when I become aware of that, I will read a few of their reviews to see what they're talking about, if it's something I missed. But yeah.
Catch Killer, according to Just Watch, not available to stream yet. This is only in theaters, apparently.
I really wish that I got to see this in the theater. The vibe took a little adjustment, especially because it's not my kind of movie, but a lot of people love these kinds of tense thrillers.
You know what? 7.0 on IMDb.
Very few ratings. So I think it's like 145 right now.
161, and now that you talked about it.
You can recognize Wild Tales in it a little bit, though, the way that it's shot and back to the tone. Like it really nails that tone. And maybe some of the critics did feel like they were hammering her over the head with all of the social issues and the commentary. It all worked for within the story. It didn't feel like they were reaching.
Okay.
Which I recognize and get pissed about, right? So I feel like
I'm glad it landed. I'm excited to see it.
Sis fraud.
I mean, now, depending on the run.
If you go in thinking that you're going to be seeing Wild Tales 2, I mean, yeah, you'd be disappointed. But I feel like Shailene Woodley and Ben Mendelsohn bring things to the film that Wild Tales might have been lacking.
Well, there's also Wild Tales is a once in a generation movie. You know, there's a reason we still talk about it. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't expect that every time. That's not fair.
It's not fair at all. I guess this could have used a little more humor. Maybe it's a little safe for the critics considering who's behind it. Mm-hmm. But
I want to.
It's
see
the kind of movie your mom could like too. You know what I mean? It's like a hard-boiled cop.
It's bad news.
And they're searching for the bad guy. And instead of the bad guy being this serial killer who, you know, chops up his bodies and wears the skin, it's much more relevant because it's a random, again, the man's a marksman too, or the woman's a marksman. Like this person, I think they refer to him as an Olympic level shooter. Like, every single shot is just perfect. Like this person is well-trained, product of his environment, her environment. And this is what we're contending with.
Yeah. How interesting.
It's a very interesting movie and very well done. And it's the kind of movie that I'm going to forget the name of. probably by the end of this episode.
Misanthrope would have been a more sticky title.
I think so.
Hmm. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I'm not sure what we're doing.
Too, is like, it could be her, it could be the killer, it could be Mendelsohn. Like, there's a bunch of misanthropes, like the country as a whole. Misanthropes.
Well put. All right, taking a quick break. Back with our assigned movie after this.
When I walk through the door, the walls scream out your name.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
She should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
For the fourth year in a row, Dawn is partnering with iHeartRadio for Can't Cancel Pride, a campaign that has raised over $11 million for the LGBTQ plus community. Dawn continuously strives to celebrate visibility and inclusivity for all, and that means supporting amazing organizations like Centerlink, providing safe spaces where over 52,000 community members go each week to receive critical and life-saving services. Dawn is there for your home, or your home away from home. So visit can'tcancelpride.com to learn more.
When you're struggling with your mental health, the world can seem pretty heavy, like no one understands what you're feeling or you're not sure how to ask for help. But here's the real truth. You're never in this alone. 988 Lifeline's trained crisis counselors are available 24/7 to offer the help and support you need to make it through. No judgment, no stigma, just someone to listen. Text or call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, day or night. 988. Hope has a new number.
Welcome back. What happened?
Oh.
Yep, keep Anderson off. I like that. Welcome back.
Speaking of me off.
Hey.
Remember that I got a movie to make that I did for 2.5 years?
Yeah, is that coming back? Oh, nice.
Bringing it back. Yeah, it's going to be starting this week. I'm going to be given. I just can't wait to introduce you guys to these guys and girls. That,
episode one, usurping Ryan.
Atticus and I get to hang out with every week. It's great. So yeah, I'm going to be doing. It's going to be called Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie. Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie. And I'm going to be doing it weekly, and it'll be dropping on here, right where you find the film vault. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, that feels disingenuous.
Oh yeah. Why is that? There won't be ads.
Didn't sign up for that.
Well, they're going to get it. Oh, they can just skip over it.
Apologies in advance. Sorry about that.
I mean, would you rather me do it on Cinematics and send people over there? Where do you want me to send people?
Do that.
No.
Literally offered me the opportunity. Eric Kath. I'm pronouncing this right. Eric Kath.
Eric Kath. Talked to Eric Kath earlier today.
Eric Kath signed as a film.
Eric Kath isn't just anybody either.
Okay.
Eric, do you know who Eric Cassidy is?
Is he the YouTube guy?
Yes.
Wait, is it spelled different? Okay, sorry. The name sounds...
Cyber Manor is how he goes by.
Okay, maybe I'm fucking that up.
Eric
Kath, our trusted and excellent YouTube content creator, producer, whatever, all the things he does. We appreciate it, Eric. He assigned us a film. Did he pay for this?
Yeah, I told him today. I'm like,
you don't have to.
Yeah, I told him that I'd sneak one in for him if he wanted to do another one for sure.
Fair.
And I told him to stop paying us, and that he should have the link to our Patreon. I'll hook him up in the back door. That sounded wrong.
I was going to say tutti frutti.
Yeah, a little tutti frutti action.
Trust the Man. Trust the Man was assigned to us by Eric. 2005 film, directed by Britton and directed by Brett Freundlich. Bart Freundlich. Sorry about that, Bart. I looked up Bart's credits. Mm-hmm. I cannot say with any certainty that I've heard of any of the other movies he's done.
Mm.
All of them seemed vaguely familiar, like I'd seen them pop up on a streaming service at some point, but I have not seen, nor I'm not sure I've heard of, his other films. This one, Trust the Man, stars Julianne Moore, David Duchovny, Billy Crudup, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Eva Mendes, Ellen Barkin, Gary Shandling, and Bob Balaban. Mm-hmm. Uncredited Bob Balaban.
Who's that?
The bald, old glasses psychologist.
Greenpeace. Greenpeace on Seinfeld.
Now, he's one of those guys. He's like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I've seen that guy 100 things.
He joined Greenpeace to impress Elaine because he's obsessed with her.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
28% of Rotten Tomatoes. Feels about right. You can rent this, Trust the Man, across multiple platforms. Anderson, I'm very, very, very curious to know why anyone would pay us money to watch this.
Oh, no.
What did Eric have to say? Also, I have a theory, but I'm going to hold on it.
Okay. This is one of the first rom-coms that he saw years ago when it came out that he wasn't completely repulsed by.
Okay.
And I could see why, because this is a romantic comedy that seems to have been written by men for men,
mm-hmm.
At least up until the end scene, which becomes very schmaltzy. But mm-hmm. it lacks some of the schmaltz that a lot of the typical rom-coms have.
It's not cutesy.
It has a lot of very profane and scatological humor throughout.
I wrote down that this movie has a jaunty tone of like a Hallmark film with lots more sex talk, like shoehorned in. A
lot of sex talk. It opens up with Duchovny talking to his like 8-year-old son who's on the toilet about the difference between farts and burps, which I didn't need to hear that. Mm. I didn't need to see that.
I thought you turned a corner.
I have not. I can't.
He's not there on burps yet.
He saw this. I'm talking to Eric today, and this is a real test. And I thanked Eric for this. And I said, I am accused by my co-host of pulling punches and being nice to listener assigned movies. Mm-hmm. And if ever I was going to do that, it would be with this one, Eric, because not only did you pay us, but I have a relationship with you and we talk and you do great work for our YouTube. That's very talented.
Yep.
You're very, very good at what you do.
You thank him every week. The guy helps the show go.
He's part of the family and he had us watch this movie.
Well, again, your relationship to family is different.
And I'm like, he's part of the family, Brent. And I'm like, there's no way I can do anything but be honest. I talked to Jillian about it. I'm like, I gotta talk to Eric about a movie that he assigned us that I didn't quite like. And I did today, but he's great. Eric's like,
what was his response?
He's like, I had like a Jack Lemmon movie I was thinking about. Probably should have assigned you that one. I'm not sure why.
Jack Lemmon's in this.
No, he's not. He's like, I was hoping that. So there are some good things in this movie. I don't recommend it.
Before we get into that,
there are like three really solid things in this movie quite enjoyed.
I'm going to read verbatim from my notes. Theory: this was assigned as a litmus test for Anderson's genuine reaction. Because I was bracing myself. I was bracing myself all week. I'm like, if Anderson tries to fucking defend this movie, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. Because Eric, we really appreciate the support. And I enjoy being introduced to things. I have no concept of Trust the Man. Never heard of it.
Would never
have come across it. And the fact that I have been exposed to it, at the very least, I appreciate something new in my life.
And it wasn't hard to watch.
No, I mean.
Right? It was entertaining. I sat there and watched it. It wasn't like I was looking at my watch and going, when is this fucking thing going to be over? It wasn't that movie.
I did. But I think it's like an hour and 45. It feels longer.
I didn't get that. There's enough different characters and there's enough going on. It's just little things. Like there's a scene, and I talked to Eric about this earlier. There is a scene involving anonymous sex addict group. Mm-hmm. And Duchovny is part of this group. And he doesn't feel like he really has much to bring to the table because he's hearing these horrific stories that these people are telling. And then it's finally his turn to talk, and he goes on a jaunt about he only gets off with deli meats, and he has to cover his body in deli meats. And it's like, I see where they're going with that, but like that could have been workshopped and punched up, and it could have been like there could have been something really funny there, right? But there was funny stuff. There's a scene in the kitchen, and I felt like I shuddered when I watched it. Mom comes in. Julian Moore is the mom. She's married to Duchovny, who's a dirtbag. That's another major flaw with this movie, is the two lead men are kind of despicable fucks that I didn't care about and I didn't like at all. And they
had a few redeeming qualities.
Yeah. And ultimately they kind of win, and it's like they didn't deserve to win, right? Trust what? These men? No.
Their arc is a little flatter than you'd like.
Yeah.
You'd like them to come around and perhaps realize the error of their ways or not.
Whoever wrote this might be a little bit of a sociopath. You know?
I think it was a writer-director. Yeah.
So there's a scene in anyone who's a parent and has a wife that they're a little bit afraid of will. I don't know if you felt that at all in that scene.
Remind me.
So they're playing spoonball. Duchovny and his kid are playing spoonball in the kitchen, and like he's throwing some kind of ball, and his son is like swinging a wooden spoon.
It's like an indoor soccer ball.
Yeah, and mom comes in, and she's like, played by Julianne Moore, who plays a famous actress in this movie. That's what her role is in this movie. Everyone, it's very Woody Allen too, in the sense that it's in New York. This is another reason why Eric, I should also say, has seen a bunch of Woody Allen movies since liking this one way back when, so he realizes what a good version of this looks like. Because New York's almost like a character, and everyone's either a writer, everyone's like entertainment.
They're all going to fun little cafes and, you know, coffee shops.
Yeah. So they're playing spoonball in
different places.
Mom comes in. She's like, you guys shouldn't be doing that in here. This is very dangerous. And Duchovny is like, yeah, whatever. One more pitch. And the kid swings the spoon, and it flies out of his hands and hits her square in the face. And I shuddered.
And she needed to be on stage the next day.
Yeah, it was bad. And when your significant other tells you that you shouldn't do something, and this has happened to me a number of times, and you're like, nah, it's okay.
So one more time.
And then exactly why they didn't want it to continue happens. Oh, it's a bad feeling.
I got to tell you, I'm on Jillian's side on this one. I mean Julianne Moore, sorry. Mm-hmm. Julianne Moore.
The dinner party was a lot of fun too. And you know, we don't want to get into all the details, but there was like a new boyfriend at the table and the old boyfriend was at the table. That new boyfriend, the French guy too, I should have looked up his name.
But he's German.
I think he was supposed to be French, but maybe German. I don't know.
Okay. Because he called him a sprocket at some point. So it's German.
That makes sense. He was in Flirting with Disaster. He's the one that dosed the little quails. He was the son.
Wow.
Remember that?
No. I mean, now, yes. I remember the time.
But yeah, it was what it was. Maybe a misfire. I'm not surprised that this movie didn't really do a whole lot of business or get a whole bunch of accolades at the time.
There's also a lot of bizarre physical comedy. Like at one point, Duchovny just like Murray falls out of bed when the school mom calls on his phone. He just falls out of bed. At one point, Billy Crudup's been kicked out of his apartment, and his friend is helping him move a love seat, and they set it down, and the friend does a somersault. Mm-hmm. Not intentionally. He falls over the love seat. And then at one point, did Ellen Barkin only have the one scene?
One scene.
Okay, because at one point, Maggie Gyllenhaal completely just does a spit take for no reason all over Ellen Barkin.
Yeah.
Spits water just all over. And that's the joke.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of out of left field.
The whole thing was out of left field.
Yeah.
That was a storyline that never went anywhere.
It didn't.
Yeah, I was expecting to come back.
I was thinking about that as I'm talking to you about the movie. I'm like, Ellen Barkin is in this. And when you set it up, I'm like, yeah, she had that one scene. And then
because that scene was provocative in a sense where it could have led to an interesting storyline, but it withered on the vine.
Hey, do you use IMDb much?
Not as much as you think.
I use it all the time. Okay. And it has been jacked for the last like 2 weeks now. I don't know what's going on with
that. The site's fucked
it's
up.
Just slow as can be and unresponsive.
I've not noticed that.
I've been using Movie Insider as a backup and it's very fast and very great. Oh geez. All right. So Trust the Man, thank you very much, like Brian said, and it was nice talking to you today, Eric, and we're talking again on Friday about The Page. Don't let this
What is The Page?
The YouTube page, Brian. Our YouTube page.
I thought he assigned you another film or something.
Not yet. I told him.
I know the front page is.
Yeah, if he wants to do a makeup, he can do that.
Freebie on us, Eric. You contributed so much to the show.
Oh, Gary Shandling's in this too. You say that?
I think he's in like two scenes.
He's not in it in much. Yeah.
Right. Balaban's in it a lot.
You ready to move on?
I want to wrap it up.
My man.
Yeah, I want to save this for next week.
You can. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, there's a solid documentary I'm going to flick fest next week.
You can stream
on Amazon Prime. It is part of Prime Video subscription and it is sitting at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. This one took me by surprise because I was mildly interested in Judy Blume, but Judy Blume Forever is a new documentary that is ostensibly, about her. Judy Blume, the author of Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, which, by the way, comes out this week. This is a nice little synchronicity. There's a feature film version of her book, her most famous book, coming out, and also the documentary just landed. And this was not on my Sundance list, but it was a movie I was interested in. And it, again, is a movie about one thing, but it's really about a lot of other things, especially coming of age as a young woman, which I have no relation to, but I was still kind of moved by some of the stories. You're going to find it, those who watch it, you're going to find it compelling how Judy Blume, despite being a very successful, very famous, very wealthy, I would imagine, author, took time to correspond with a lot of readers who wrote in as like 12, 13-year-old girls. They were like, hey, no one understands me.
I know that's foreign to you, Brian, to like talk to your audience.
No, but to keep like a continuing correspondence via letter with a 12-year-old when you're a 50-year-old author.
Michael Jackson did.
That's true. You know what? I take it all back. I found that
Watch this movie then.
I found that very revelatory. Anyway, Judy Blume Forever will be FlickFest next week. It is.
I feel like you just did.
Solid doc. Check it out.
I feel like you just did. Hey, quick corrections and retractions in real time. Boy, am I wrong, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked because it looks so, he had such the vibe, but just not that this matters to anybody, but just to save myself some emails and headaches. Justin Bartha is the name of Jasper, the German boyfriend, or French, it's debatable, in Trust the Man, and he is not the...
there's no debate.
Unless I'm looking at a different actor. I don't know. I'm not good. I'm not good at
actors. That was obviously not a German person.
No, I know, but is that even him? I think that's him. I don't know why you're looking.
I couldn't tell.
You haven't seen the movie. And I'd search around on IMDb a little bit more if it wasn't so goddamn slow. What's happening with this thing? All right, let's wrap this guy up. Next week, Brian, I will be talking about Bo. He's afraid. He's afraid of things
for
3 hours.
He fears.
I fear watching it because I don't like to be uncomfortable for 3 hours, but you know what? That's what you do. Looking forward to talking about that one. Also, we are going to be... we are going to be doing Haunt, assigned to us by Chris Terry. There's a number of Haunts out there. 2019's Haunt. That's the one that we will be discussing.
Haunt.
For Chris Terry.
Haunt.
And then do you want to do two listeners or you want to do one? Because I have another listener one as well, if you think you can do that.
This might be a good week to do two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Definitely want to see Sisu.
All right, The Vanishing. We're going to be doing 1988's The Vanishing. I don't think you have seen that. I have, but I'm excited to revisit it because it's a classic. The Vanishing, 1988. The Vanishing will be FlickFest on the program next week. Thanks to James Kozlowski. What's up, James? We got to talk soon.
Good news. Prime or Hulu is where you can stream Haunt, 2019's Haunt. I'm going to add that to my list.
All right. Let's do some months.
The other one, was what? Vanishing?
The Vanishing, yes. The Vanishing.
What year is that from?
1988, right. So you can do. I appreciate you taking a pause and typing this, so I don't have to deal later. You know,
yeah, I'm trying. I'm looking out for you, buddy.
Could you send me text going, "What's the movie?"
I do. What are we signed again?
What was it? All right. Hey, thanks everybody for listening, for downloading, for me. Make sure to look for, if you're interested in following along, a really fun, exciting process all the way from the ground up. You'll be hearing about, I'm going to talk ad nauseum about it on Let's Make This Movie, obviously. But, you'll hear tiny little updates here as well. It's going to be a big part of my life. It has been a big part of my life, but I'm kind of keeping it under wraps. But the work that we're all doing over there will be documented weekly and on Loaded for Bear, Let's Make This Movie, as well as on the socials. With all the video and pictures that Mike's going to be doing. I'm paying Mike, I'm paying Joe, You know, I'm going to be paying some of the subjects to do the interviews.
They're writing checks your body can't cash.
That's what they would say. Assuming, you know, we can get, you know, some funding on this. Also, it's open-ended funding, so it's not like we don't get to do anything. And you know, it's not like it ends and then it doesn't get greenlit like some of the other platforms. However, we can't really do work without it. So please, if you would like to be a part of this and get access and hear about, you know, this week I'll be focusing on the different tiers and what they mean and what we're doing on Let's Make This Movie. So if you'd like to check in on that, it'll be just 10 minutes of me talking about things weekly, 10 minutes or so. Some weeks I get more into the weeds with filmmaking process and what it takes. We're talking about all sorts of things.
Can I be a guest?
For sure. Of course. Right. Yeah.
This is exciting. The Vanishing is streaming on the Criterion Channel. You can also rent it on Amazon if you're not a subscriber there. All right? Feel good about that?
I feel great about it, Bremer.
All right. Thank you. Well, first of all, Eric Kath, not just for Trust the Man, and more importantly, being a Patreon subscriber, a signer, all those things, helping us with, it's spelled differently, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's why I was messed up.
But I think it was minutia.
It messes up when I'm reading.
Your brain.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny because it's an audience of one. Mm-hmm. All right, Eric Kath with a C or a K. Either way, we appreciate that's you, my K. friend. Is it right?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't know why I had it. That's my fault. I had it as K for a while. He let me know.
Wait, so it is a C. That's the right way?
It's a C. Eric, yeah, maybe you're the one who screwed me up to begin with. I saw it as K at one point. Eric, A-E-R-I-C. Eric Kath, yeah. Okay.
No, the K is with the Kath is with the C.
Kath is with a C.
Okay, it's with a C.
Yeah, yeah. Eric, oh, Eric is with a C as well. A lot of C's in his name. Okay.
This is the worst.
Man of C's.
This is the worst segment ever.
It's been a lot of Eric Kath talk here.
Oh, hey, wait, maybe it's K.
Check out his the K assigner.
It's K on the assigner sheet.
Mm. Wait, because he uses a different name for email, so
get him on the phone.
I don't know where to
Patreon
go.
Patreon bonus. Call him up.
Check out Eric Kath's work over at youtube.com/thefilmvaultpodcast.
Oh, Eric.
Colin Obremski is our featured artist, by the way. Check him out at andersonandbrian.com. Anderson and Brian on Instagram. Anderson and Brian on TikTok. The Film Vault, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out all the socials that we got that I just mentioned. You can find our artwork there. Thanks to all of our Patreon listeners. And thank you to Giovanni, Mitch Burns, Mike Cole, and Eric Kath. Check out Eddie's Antiques. Song's ending.
No, it's a little...
There's more!
Keep going, Brian. We got you. You're good. Keep going.
I hit the post, though.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't throw it to me, so.
Until next time.
We do it! For Van Gogh.
Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.